כמה רגעים פשוט להתרווח בתוך המנוחה, בתוך הגוף.
אפשר לקחת נשימה יותר עמוקה. אם אפשר אפילו לחייך לעצמנו חיוך קטן, אז זה שהצלחנו להגיע, לא דבר פשוט בימינו. אני רוצה להציע להזכיר לעצמנו, עם כל ההתרגשות אולי שיש, העייפות, או כל דבר אחר שנוכח כרגע, את ההתכוונות שלנו להגיע לסוף שבוע ארוך, לתרגל יחד. מה הייתה ההתכוונות שלחצתם על כפתור ההרשמה? אז שלום, ברוכות וברוכים הבאים לאנדור. מניחה שכמעט כולם היו כאן, אם לא אז תרגלו במקום אחר. מי כאן פעם ראשונה באנדור? יש לנו כמה, אז בכלל לוקח זמן קצת להתארגן, אבל מבטיחה שתוך יום יומיים תמצאו את המקומות שלכם. רוצה חוץ מלברך אתכם גם to say thank you to Nathan, he's here, and מאוד שמחה להיות כאן וללמד עם Nathan. זה פעם ראשונה שאנחנו מלמדים ביחד, וזה משהו שחיכיתי לו, אז אני מאוד שמחה על כך, ואני שמחה לראות אתכם. אני תמיד נורא מתרגשת בהתחלה, חלק אני מכירה וחלק לא, אז נכיר לנו לאט לאט במהלך הסופש. ואני אגיד רק כמה מילים ואז אעביר את השרביט הדיבור לנייתן. להגיד שהפורמט הזה של ריטריט אולי אהוב עליי במיוחד מכל צורות החיים שיש, אז אני תמיד שמחה לבוא. אני הרבה פעמים מאוד שמחה לשבת במקום שאתם יושבים ויושבות, שאני לא צריכה לדבר עם אף אחד. כן, שמה שיכול לאסף, להפנות את המבט פנימה והחוצה ממקום שהוא שונה, כשאנחנו נמצאים בתוך השקט וההתבוננות ותשומת הלב. אז אולי ככה לקחת כמה רגעים של הכרת תודה. אני מניחה שכל אחד וכל אחת יכולים לעורר את הכרת התודה על בכלל האפשרות להשקיע את הימים האלה. זה לא מובן מאליו. גם עם החיים עמוסים, בריאות שמאפשרת לנו לבוא לכאן, אנשים שלקחו דברים בשבילנו כדי שנוכל לעשות את זה. ובכלל, עצם זה שיש לנו פנאי, זה לא דבר שכל בני האדם על הכדור הזה יכולים להגיד. אז מדי פעם זה טוב להיזכר כשהחלקים יכולים להיות יותר קשים, שזה באמת זכות גדולה שמתאפשר לנו להעביר את הזמן בצורה הזאת, שאנחנו מוחזקים ומוחזקות בהרבה אהבה של הרבה אנשים, גם שלנו וגם של הצוות וכל מה שהתרחש מאחורה, ולזכור שזה באמת משהו מיוחד. אז תודה שבאתם, כי אם אתם לא באים אז אנחנו לא יכולים לבוא. ואני מאחלת לנו שלנו ריטריט משמעותי, מסקרן, מעורר, משחרר, משמח, כל מה שאתם רוצים לאחל לעצמכם ולעצמכם. אז אני עוד שוחח איתכם בערב, אבל בינתיים אני אעביר לנייתן את רשות הדיבור.
תודה רבה,
נייתן.
So I didn't see any kind of hand raising or things, but you checked about if anybody needs translation?
מישהו צריך תרגום עכשיו לאנגלית. יש שם תחלופה, מתרגם גם יש לנו תרגום, אז מי שצריך עכשיו תרגום לאנגלית, אז תעבור לשבת, איך קורא לך?
רותם.
אז רותם, נעשה ככה שיעור אותך, אז מי שצריך, תודה. עכשיו התרגום לעברית.
Okay, so I'm Nathan, and maybe you can already tell I have a British accent. So, like sometimes you're more familiar with like an American accent to understand English, and also some of the words I might use, or just my accent can kind of throw off your understanding of English at any time. So, I'm not here to you know. Try and fool you with my accent. I can't do a very good American accent impression, so I'm not going to try that. But if I lose you at any time because of a word that I thought was more kind of commonly known, just stop me right away. If I'm explaining some kind of concept that doesn't make any sense, then, you know, let me know maybe like once I've finished it. And then we'll see if it needs to be kind of said in another way, or you know, we can unpack it more and more. Okay. So that's my baseline kind of level of confusion I'm aiming to offer to you. So if you think that it would be better for you to have the translation from Rotem, this is like the second opportunity to make that shift. Yeah. And if I use a word and we just want a quick translation of it, then, you know, again, just call it out. So, yeah, I'm really happy to be here, and I want to also share this welcome that Karen was expressing there. So that's just so I can understand a little bit of Hebrew. And so I more or less get the sense that she was kind of welcoming us to be here. And in that sense of welcoming us to be here, can we just kind of take a moment to notice in what way we've shown up today? Yeah, this kind of unique appearance of us kind of meeting this thing we call retreat. Now, what's kind of going on? There might be parts of us which feel like they've been dragged into this a little bit against their will. And kind of, are they also welcomed to be here? Those aspects of ourselves which maybe we have a little bit of doubt about. Yeah. What am I doing here, actually? Is this the right thing to be doing? Can that also be welcomed in? And kind of extending that range. And that part of ourselves that's come here to finally, you know, break through into enlightenment or something like that. You know, can we not be ashamed of that part that has deep or big aspirations? Also, all welcomed in. So all of us can feel welcome, and so we can extend that welcome not just to myself, but also to others. Yeah? We're actually starting to feel, you know, a sense of community. We're going to be practicing together. So have you kind of felt that? You know, do you feel like welcome to the other people here, or are they just going to be people who kind of cough and come in late and, you know, walk on my favorite walking line or whatever it is? Yeah, actually, this is a community, and we can start to generate it by the way we feel about ourselves being here and others being here. So welcome to all of us, and welcome to every part of all of us to be here, to practice together. So this sense for me of the Dharma is kind of keep expanding our concepts that we have. You know, our concepts about ourselves. You know, we turn up and, yeah, what's the right thing to do in terms of welcoming? And another one I feel is we've got ourselves this long weekend retreat. if you were in the UK, I think people would be very surprised about this idea, because we've completely missed out Sunday, and like this we're mostly a midweek kind of retreat, but it's a long weekend retreat in Israel. And so what can we do? What can we do in just a few days of practice? And I just mentioned that not because I want us to have a clear idea about that, but just to check in if any assumptions have come together. So, oh, it's just a short retreat, you won't be able to go very deep, or, you know, this actually feels really a significant chunk of time for me. There's lots of different ways of seeing an experience like this. And so, in a sense, like, what's the power of our concept towards retreat? Yeah. What's the power of our imagination coming towards this event? Another way of saying this, another way of kind of approaching this retreat could be, when will the retreat begin? Like, has it begun? Has it already begun? Are you in it? Are you actually doing the retreat already? Or is it going to turn up after dinner or something? Now, our way of imagining this is very, very significant. You know, we could, you know, create arguments for when it begins. Maybe it begins when you, you know, sign up for the retreat. Maybe it actually began there. And that could be a very skillful way of seeing it in that moment. It's like, yes, I'm committed to something. And it begins. It's begun. And in that sense, how's the momentum going? Yeah? What's keeping the retreat going in this moment? So what makes a retreat? What's turning this collection of beings in this room, in this place, into something that we might feel is very precious? Yeah. And if we have this sense that it's going to be starting later, now, what's going to define that moment for us? What are we postponing? What's not available now? Yeah, that we can't practice with. We've got a body and body sensations and a mind doing its thing. Plenty of material there to meet well. But it depends on what we think the Dharma is. Yeah, depends what we think this practice is. And that's something we need to kind of discover and create for ourselves. One of the really important factors of what's going to make this a retreat is understanding the power of the mind to create retreat and also dissolve retreat. And it's not just retreat that it creates, it also creates this sense of the retreatant, the yogi, the practitioner. Yeah, that we become this kind of being. And in the beginning of the Dhammapada, this teaching that the mind is the forerunner of all things. And just kind of considering that is how the mind creates or contributes to this moment. These moods, these mind states, these thought patterns which pass through us, these body sensations, these sounds, how we're meeting those through the mind is one of the qualities that we can cultivate and starts to shape that difference. It's how I meet sounds, how I meet body sensations, and all that's flowing through the mind. So I'm personally quite drawn to kind of emptiness teachings, and one of the ways that I would express this is that we can actually see anything that appears in consciousness from as if it has many faces. There are many sides to things that we can meet. It's one of the aspects that we can cultivate. And it kind of pushes against this assumption that this is the way it is. The way I'm seeing it now is the way it is. We just open that possibility that there's another way of seeing this. And there's another way of seeing where retreat begins and retreat ends and practice begins. Practice ends. An example can be, when does a sitting meditation get going? And once we've sat down, could it begin when we take off our shoes? If we can keep expanding and exploring that, we'll perhaps discover some kind of unusual factors to our practice, is that we've put in place these little gaps when the retreat's not happening and I'm having a little break from it. And that might feel like that's kind of the kindest thing to do at times. You know, so I come in, I do a sitting, then I stop, then I go outside and I do a walking, then I stop, and then I go and have my meal, then I have a break, I have a wander around, then I come back in, then I practice again. And this kind of on-off style of practice. That's quite a common way that we practice. But there could be another way. And it initially might sound like, no, that's too much. But we've really only got a weekend. So let's see. Is that we try and sustain some quality of mindfulness, of presence, of interest in our experience, like all the way through. It doesn't have to be very, very intense. It could be that it's almost as if the walking meditation begins as the sitting meditation moves out of that posture. We actually begin walking from here so that we're sustaining a quality of mindfulness through all of the postures that we move through. So, the mind is the forerunner of all things. It precedes experience. It comes before and it shapes the experience. So your sense now of that sounds difficult, just allowing that to be questioned. If it sounds difficult, try it. Is it actually difficult? Is it actually difficult to be present in that experience? And ultimately, what you may find is it makes the retreat easier. Yeah, something that appears to be making it more difficult. I'm just sharing it because I believe it has the potential to make it easier. And so within that, is it possible, while extending the range of where our practice can go, that we also have a quality of being quite playful and quite light with the way we practice. And quite light, you know, as in not a heavy weight, but also light as in, you know, the lights that shine on us, have a luminosity, have a brightening quality. Just seeing if we can notice that we might have a habit energy towards a heaviness. You know, retreats are heavy. You know, I have to deal with my stuff and work through things. And so can that be just questioned lightly? Can the work become a little more creative, a little more playful in some ways? Are we going to lose something if we do that? Let's find out. Let's see what we can do with this lightness, with this playfulness. And of course, light is also in that word delight, you know, to enjoy. So we can also incline ourselves towards things which are going okay. Yeah. It doesn't have to be all heaviness, all difficulty. And this quality of playfulness I found very helpful for me in my practice, while also balancing that with a lot of kind of dedication to the practice. So it's not a playfulness that you know we do just on the side, but really fully focused playfulness of playing with things, stretching ideas, coming at it from different sides, finding ways to be creative, to be able to respond spontaneously, not always be planning everything, every moment. But also there's a sense of play that could be, you know, like if you go and see a play, you know, the theater of our experience, this unfolding appearance of me in a retreat, doing this, sometimes taking it very seriously, sometimes taking it quite lightly, just finding those kind of appropriate responses, and how the theater of our appearance, the theater of the selves that we play, has meaning. You know, theater has meaning for us, but it's also held as not being as fixed, as factual, as we often take it to be. So just introducing that also as a way of meeting our experience, to see it in that way. Yeah? To see it as theater isn't to reject it, isn't to say it has no meaning. Actually, theater has a lot of meaning. But it also can have a lightness. So the next point I was kind of hoping to be weaving in here, but I've played myself off into other directions, is when we kind of consider what a retreat is, what a practice is that they're actually a gathering together under this kind of term. You know, a retreat is this gathering together of features or characteristics. Yes. You know, this opportunity to sit and to walk, the quality of silence, quality of paying attention to your experience, quality of having teachings or particular practices to follow. And so there's this kind of gathering together of the retreat, and the retreat can be meaningful for us, but none of us are going to be able to kind of take the retreat back to our room or, you know, pass the retreat on to future generations. And the retreat doesn't exist in that way. It's this kind of gathering together with the mind, you know, really having one of the most important qualities that it brings to that gathering. And actually everything is a gathering together. And if you have a sense of what that means, which is to say that nothing is entirely what we call it, or what we gather it in within, but nor is it separate from those things. It gives us a sense of a possibilities of lightness and playfulness within the way we see retreat, within the way we see practice, and hopefully also in the way that we see ourselves. What are you? What is a human being exactly? Apart from that kind of label that we put around it to gather it together, it's sankhara, it's gathering together of things. Yeah? This is what we meet. So retreat is that, practice is that, human beings are that. And one particular aspect of the kind of gathering together quality is also that we gather ourselves to this present moment. We gather what we are. And this gathering is a really core aspect of our practice. And when we gather our minds, our bodies together, we're calling this samadhi, this coming together. Sometimes it's with focus, sometimes it's quite wide. It has this quality of steadiness, that we can cultivate a steadiness of attention with our experience. And so in this moment, what's needed for you to gather? Could be that you connect with the breath. And when the mind and the body are doing the same thing, they're breathing, this quality of unification starts to gather. So everything's a gathering. But what happens when we really try and gather it? We really try and gather consciousness together into the same moment. You could say that samadhi is the fruitful development of the quality of mindfulness. So the more that we're able to extend that mindful quality through the practices, the more and more this quality of samadhi is going to be available to us as we practice through the days. Yeah? So that's an open invitation. If you want to try out this continuity of practice, that could be one of the fruits. And samadhi is a very difficult word exactly to translate. I believe gathering might be asufa or something like this. Tadu'a, asufa. Close enough. And hopefully even the word kind of has a feeling of this bringing together. And so it's something we can tune into on a felt sense. But kind of like just the last bit of advertising for it is a quality that you may already begin to feel or have felt at other times of where you felt quite gathered. Is it has this feeling of well-being. Like an inherent sense of well-being. And this is a really part of the core teachings of what Buddhism is looking to explore, what perhaps all spiritual teachings are looking to explore, all the deep spiritual teachings of the world, is that there's a well-being that we can generate within. Yeah? Not a well-being that's dependent on getting things or getting rid of things, but actually a well-being that's developed by gathering ourselves together. And so that's the kind of reward for putting our effort into the practice. And we can kind of incline ourselves in that direction as we just connect with what's the material of this moment. You know, the sounds, how the body feels, what kind of mood has been generated by past actions. What would be nourishing to me that now? And what would support well-being and gatheredness in the way that I can meet this? Yeah? It's not going to be dependent on pushing away or pulling towards. Playful and light, but also really dedicated to presence. And present, which works in English as a gift we can give to ourselves, a present. This gift we can give to ourselves, being gathered and supporting the inner qualities of well-being. Playful and light, dedicated to presence. And if the mind is the forerunner of all things, what kind of mind do we want to cultivate? What way of seeing experience do we want to cultivate? So noticing there's going to be other faces to this experience, other ways of meeting it. Maybe you can feel that actually just talking about this, contemplating it, maybe lightly practicing it, starts to generate something, starts to generate a resonance with retreat. Yeah, something shifting. Maybe retreat's begun. Yeah? Maybe practice is happening. Also, maybe not. Maybe Nathan's just being annoying. You know, this is also fine. But it's really up to you to find how to meet that well. Yeah? Because I'm probably not going to stop being annoying. That's, I will, of course, but I can't keep it up. So gathering ourselves resonates us with that quality of being gathered. Recognizing that everything is a gathering. Kind of attunes us to the depth of the wisdom teachings that are offered to us. And starts to draw our attention to the potential of just waking up a little bit more in this moment. A little bit more. Coming awake. Awake to the possibility to cultivate, to gather, to be playful and light, but also really dedicated to practice. Now, as we said, retreat is also a gathering together. And it's something that we gather together in the way that we come here, in the way that we practice. And one of the core qualities of our practice is the quality of our sila, our virtuous behavior that we bring together. It's one of the delightful qualities that when we practice together in harmony with our deepest wishes for how we wish to live, we actually generate an atmosphere that's possibly one of the really core features that emotionally maybe we come back for on retreats. You know, it's fantastic to see into experience and all of this, but to be in community and practice together, such a significant nourishment and well-being that we can find. And so the precepts that we follow on a retreat usually we find really align with what we discover through samadhi practice. That we actually want to be more friendly to ourselves, to the world, to those around us. And we actually want to be more honest and more generous. And so we take on these precepts because they are in alignment with our deepest wishes. Not just because somebody said so. Yeah. They're born of insight and they support further insights in the way that we can practice with them. Did that point make sense? That the precepts are actually born from insights. They come out of insights. When we see deeply, when we see clearly, when we reduce our own personal suffering and the suffering of others, that's what brings insight, and that's what leads to further insight, those behaviors. So one of the core principles that we're going to have here is this silence. Silence among us. And having already been speaking for quite a lot of minutes, I always feel it's kind of ironic that I talk about us being in silence, and I'll get to the point and not keep talking and talking through all of your lovely silence, I hope. But it's really something that we're going to have to generate together. And so when we speak about silence, it does mean that we also don't whisper. whisper to our roommates or whisper secretly to someone we like, or we've come with a friend. It's quite a short amount of time, and I think we can make it, yeah, in silence together. Because without this agreement of silence being held with real dedication by all of us, the retreat may collapse. Yeah, it's really held together by silence. And why would I say that? So I think a great definition for what is meditation, if any of your friends ever ask you, you know, what is this meditation thing you do? It's actually deep listening to our experience. And what you may notice in a conversation is you're not really very able to be deeply listening to someone if you're talking all the time. You really have to stop talking so that you can listen. And we need to kind of resist the temptation to be talking, to be sharing, to be nattering, to be gossiping, yeah, in our minds. That we just say, actually not now. This bit can go quieter. There's whole levels of personality which can go quieter, even in a weekend, even in a couple of hours, even within a few days, if we are willing to just let it go. Yeah. Things are going to come up, thoughts are going to come up, but we can meet them well and just let them pass through. Yeah, yeah, for another time. Yeah, yeah, for another time. Going to come back to the breath now, or whatever the practice is that feels nourishing to us. One of the delights of retreat, if you haven't noticed it, is actually that we fade and quieten down. This whole appearance that we live as, you know, kind of softens. And the quite amazing thing is that if we consider all the delightful experiences in our life, yeah, falling in love, laughing, it's a quietening down of the self that really kind of shows that delightfulness. And so that's something that we can practice on the retreat, using the silence as a way of quietening down the persona, letting the ego become more quiet. So this deep listening, really encourage you, you know, to really embrace the silence. And even embracing it in terms of resisting the temptation to read things, to put in other people's views on the world into your experience. And we'll try to be very subtle, very light, with just kind of like, have you looked over here? You know, more than like, this is what this has to be. Yeah. So that we can really explore for ourselves. The invitation, don't read for this time. What would that be like? Get to know your life from your perspective as you feel it now through your senses. And also resisting the temptation to write about it. Yeah, when we write about it, again, we only get one face of the experience. We could use that time just to check, is there another face? Is there another angle to see this? Just keep exploring until we have that sense that what's become solid for us then starts to melt, become more fluid. And as it becomes more fluid, it usually radiates out this well-being quality. It's what this practice is about for me. And so that also includes what we call a digital detox, the bliss of turning our phone off. Yeah. So if you haven't warned anybody, that you realize, oh, I haven't told them that I'm turning my phone off. Just use the next session up till dinner to turn your phone off and... gone? What a bliss. Already, bliss is already among us. Yeah, okay. Nice, impressive. Yeah. So there's that. And also, yeah, if you've brought any musical instruments or things like that, they can just stay in the case. And we're just gonna dedicate ourselves to this practice. And really supporting the silence in the hall. So coming on time, staying to the end if you can, leaving bottles outside so that, you know, really, if someone just by the luck of everything gets into some kind of samadhi and it's really supportive, we can just come and go in here. You know, not like this is my place, like this is a shared place. Or even that this is like a temple to values that you really appreciate. Yeah, like this is a safe or sacred place for exploration. And that really supports those qualities of generosity and gratitude and kindness that is really at the heart of this practice. And when we're in the dining room or we're here, if we can prioritize kindness, I think we'll also find that we enjoy existence even more. You know, sometimes we want to be the first at the food queue to make sure we get some food. But there'll be enough food. Yeah, we already know this. We've been to enough retreats. We know. Well, there's always enough food. So we can be kind. You can let someone else go in first. Or we can enjoy other people enjoying filling their plates or having their food. Yeah. There's so much more joy if you enjoy other people enjoying themselves. If you only enjoy your plate of food, that's only one plate of food you enjoyed. What a waste. There were hundreds of plates of food out there to enjoy. And you decided to only enjoy one. It seems a waste. So we're just looking to redress the balance. And the teacher, Stephen Batchelor, came up with this very beautiful quote that the Buddha did for the self, you know, for self-importance. The Buddha did for the self what Copernicus did for the earth when he pointed out that it wasn't that everything was rotating around the earth. Yeah, the solar system was rotating around the sun. And then slowly it gets broader, yeah? But there isn't actually a center to this whole universe at all. So the Buddha was just pointing out to us, don't be thinking it all revolves around you. Yeah. And if we find ourselves having that perspective, yeah, playfulness and lightness, very, very common. We all fall into it. So the idea is just to internally, mentally, take on this sila practice for the benefit of ourselves, for the benefit of the community. And so, do you know them in Hebrew? Do you want to? Yeah. Would it make sense to do them in Hebrew? No? Okay. Just feeling how we can kind of resonate with this. I undertake the precept to refrain from destroying living creatures, from destroying life. I undertake the precept to refrain from taking that which is not given. I undertake the precept to refrain from sexual misconduct. I undertake the precept to refrain from incorrect speech. And I undertake the precept to refrain from intoxicating drinks and drugs, which lead to carelessness. So we can use these as kind of just reminders of boundaries of behavior as we generate this atmosphere. But we don't even need to be limited by that. And just see in what ways can I live that support kindness? In this moment, what would be a kind thing to do to myself, to each other, to the group? And not just not taking things which are not freely offered. What would generosity look like now? Real open-ended kind of questions that are kind of born from these rule book of good practices. So that was the things I wanted to share. this evening, and I think we now have a little bit of information from the managers.